episode 35 of Drunk on Comics, where if we had a penny for every time a pair of feet were drawn by Rob Liefeld, we would be broke.
Really? That's all you had this week?
Yeah.
I mean, only a penny? Really? Yeah. I mean, we could get $100 for each pair of feet that looked real, and we'd still be broke.
Yeah.
My original joke was a penny for every time you drew a pouch, we'd be fucking rich.
See? Why didn't you go with that?
Open with that.
Yeah. Then we started talking about feet before starting, and I thought I could interconnect.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome pouches. To our podcast. This is our fun little nerdy podcast where we talk about comic books, the comic book industry, some news and notes, and some of the books that are out there that that are worth your time to pick up.
And gratuitous public nerdity.
This is true.
Yeah. So I think we should probably just go ahead and kick it off because we got a lot of stuff going.
Oh, hi, I'm Kevin, by the way.
That's Kevin.
Hi.
I'm Derek.
I'm Matt.
And I'm Tony.
Who can't tell a joke.
I think we established that 2-3 weeks ago.
Oh, no, we established that 31 episodes ago.
I thought we established 2 weeks ago that you were always wrong.
No, that was like 4, but yeah.
No, we established I was right on one thing. Movies. Derek staying up.
Well, yeah, but that's fine. I don't care about that. It was only a reference to what happens on the podcast. All right, well, we're going to get it kicked off into Off the Shelf. Off the Shelf is brought to you again this week by Inter Comics. It's inter-comics.com. Find them online. They are a fantastic online retailer based in the UK, but if you don't live in the UK, don't worry. They ship worldwide, and they actually have really awesome prices on their stuff. So go check them out. They also have blogs on there, other fun little nerdly nuggets. So inter-comics.com. Warning, we're going to talk about books that came out this week, and we're probably going to spoil them.
We're going to spoil it like if you took an oil spill and then put the two words together so it said spoil. That's what we're going to do.
Holy shit, the jokes between the brothers today have just tanked. What the hell?
I think our listeners like our punniness.
Oh, and you guys laughed at me when I drank the oyster beer and said I wasn't being shellfish.
Oh, I laughed at that. I laughed at that one.
That was pretty good.
All right, Tony, who's going to kick it off this week?
We're going to let Matt do it.
All right. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen. I'm going to talk about Uncanny Avengers number 3. As you may know, that's pretty much Avengers titles are almost exclusively on my pull list. But we haven't seen or heard from Uncanny Avengers for a few weeks now. So Marvel seems to have slowed down their rapid fire comic books issues.
Only on Avengers.
In this one, the Red Skull has taken on Charles Xavier's psychic powers, and he's going about
he's being bad.
He's being bad. He's brainwashing people into basically killing mutants, because he's a Nazi fuckhead. All right, story is from Rick Remender, art by John Cassidy, and colors by Laura Martin. Pretty good book. I'm liking the story. I'm liking the complexity. Each of the characters are getting their moment to shine. But I'm still feeling like it's a little... There's too much going on, almost. There's almost too many different little battles going on. The Red Skull has his S-Men, who are battling with the...
X-Men
/ Avengers
S-Men, and like S is in Sam.
Yeah.
Like the SS-Men, I think.
X-Men, and then the E-Men are going to come in there, and it's going to be sex.
Yeah. But then afterwards, there's just going to be C-Men all over the place. Ooh.
Well, I trust Remender that this story is going to have a really nice conclusion and twist to it. Right now, it seems really difficult for our heroes because how do you stop someone who's can mind control you?
Well, and you got the guy in there who makes your mutant power go away, kind of like Leech.
Yeah, goat-headed guy that can make your mutant powers go away.
Yeah.
So when you say conclusion, so is this story arc only going to be like a couple more issues?
I imagine the story arc's going to wrap up here in an issue or two. Probably two more issues, this being the kind of like really, really bad point for our heroes, and then, you know, as the formula goes.
Because are all the Marvel Now titles going to kind of wrap up before they...
Reboot again?
Before they start the Age of Ultron.
Yeah, they start calling them Marvel then.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I hope so that at least they'll finish the story arcs. But we'll see what happens. Really cool thing is, I like that they bring back Honest John. I think he's an older Nazi.
The living propaganda.
Yeah, the living propaganda. You always look at him as your ideal leader, and he was talking to Thor, who, of course, saw him as his father, Odin. And I just thought that's, like, kind of a really cool bad guy.
that's really cool. I think that's on the same level as the hate monger.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed this book, though. I felt that it is what Fear Itself should have been, where it makes sense why these people started getting all hatred and attacking things, because where Fear Itself was the dumbest fucking...
It was Hammers. Hammers Are Us.
Yes.
They got rid of Norman Osborn's hammer a year before, and they really liked hammers, so they brought a lot more hammers.
But I could follow everything in there. I like that they had Wolverine getting, like, all of a sudden going berserk. That was kind of cool. That the Red Skull has psychic powers, they have... I don't know how in the main universe if they've done that before or not, but I know Earth-X, there was a kid called the Red Skull that had psychic powers. I think the writers really have a hard-on for having the Red Skull have psychic powers to influence people's minds.
I just... My one... potential issue with this is, you know, kind of goes back to the whole Peter Parker superior thing, is with Charles Xavier's brain being somehow linked to the Red Skull, is Professor X going to come back? You know,
I don't think that they can still end the story without bringing Xavier back. They just got to, like, get Red Skull's brain, cut out that part of his brain.
I honestly, jumping ship from this, don't see a point of why they need Xavier anymore.
No, I don't either.
Not for a few years.
Let him stay dead. Well, even if he comes back, though, what...
That's true.
What calamity can people do?
The best point that they had for Xavier's death was that his pacifist dream, he's been continuously trying to do that. He seems very one-dimensional, and you really can't make Xavier anything but a pacifist, because if he started to exert his will... he's going to turn right into the Red Skull. And I love that...
Or Wolverine, Onslaught.
Yeah. Well, I love that Wolverine makes that point. He says, you know, it's often been said that it's a great thing that the powers of Charles Xavier came to such a noble guy, because what state would the world be in if people like the Red Skull had it?
So. Yeah.
Anyways, I like the book. It was nice. I also want to give a quick shout-out to the other Avengers title, number 3, Normal Avengers, written by Jonathan Hickman, Jerome Opeña, and Dean White.
Opeña? Opeña?
Open
A.
Open A door, eh?
He's Canadian. Well,
that's for Canadian listeners, eh?
Good story.
You called it just Normal Avengers. Seems like a pretty boring comic book to me.
Well, yeah, because there's Secret Avengers coming out, and there's New Avengers.
Uncanny Avengers.
Avengers.
I just want to say that the art is beautiful in this, and I like the story coming across... But the art, I just wanted to say, was really, really nice.
Yeah, Opeña is a fantastic artist.
Thank you, Jerome. That's what I got, guys.
All right. Well, I'm going to take it off next with some
Keep it on, please.
I'm taking it all off. With some equally awesome art by Matt Frank, and it is Mars Attacks, The Transformers. Written by Shane McCarthy, colored by Josh Perez. It's a IDW book. It's something that I talked about a month ago. In the last couple of weeks, me and Derek have been picking these up to go over Mars Attacking.
Fun.
Oh, these things have been phenomenal fun. Even the Popeye, which half these books besides Transformers, I've never picked up.
You'd never pick up a Popeye comic unless he's being attacked by Marks.
Yeah, and that was a great book. The Kiss one was great. Ghostbusters, I enjoyed it, but it wasn't as awesome as...
But being a Transformers fan, I knew you were going to have a hard-on for this one.
Yes, and it was fucking awesome. From the small jokes...
like little small jokes like we have?
Yes. To the yellow boots in there, and then at the end when the electricity gets to them, he's like, take that, General.
Yeah.
The yellow boots part was funny as hell.
Yeah. And I loved it when, so Spike is always wearing yellow boots. If you don't know, Spike works on an oil rig, and so he's wearing yellow rubber boots.
Well, yeah, and the guy's like, there ain't no general, oil rigs around here.
Yeah, the general gets mad at him, but then the Martians are surrounding him, and they call him a very well-dressed
human. No, it says, die weak, yet stylishly dressed human scum.
Because the Martians are all wearing yellow boots, too. It's really nice.
The whole thing of that starts off with Optimus and the Autobots have finally captured the Decepticons, and they're going to be locked away for good this time until the Martians attack. So what does Megatron do right away?
Make a deal with the Martians.
Yep, make a deal with the Martians, take over. What do the Martians do? Sabotage that plan and fucking trap them all.
Which goes, you know, kind of speaks a little low on Megatron's part that he wasn't smart enough to...
Megatron's one of those villains, like, they always say, he lets Starscream, who threatens to kill him, like, every other day, still be, like, one of his lieutenants. And I think he's got a trust issue.
No, what I love after they got all captured, one of the Autobots goes, or Megatron's like, I'll kill you for this. This is an outrage. And one of the Autobots goes, you know, for someone with the name like the Decepticons, you think you should have seen this coming. So overall, it's awesome. There's a part where Optimus says, you realize, and Starscream's like, just don't say anything. He's like, if we escape this, he's like, just
don't do it.
We need to work together as a team.
And
the Decepticons are so against having to work with the Autobots, but they realize they need to do this. Overall, this entire book has Transformers, aliens, fighting, and at the end was one of the greatest cameo appearances by a Transformer whose alt mode did not ever make sense ever, and that's Cosmo, who is a giant fucking flying saucer. The only time that he would ever be able to be invisible or blend in is with other alien ships, which he does and comes and destroys them. That, by far, was probably the greatest joke in this entire thing.
Best line is that that's Wheeljack, right? Or, which one's that?
Jazz.
Oh, is that Jazz?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And Jazz goes, you know, I never really saw a point to his alt form until now.
Yeah.
So they're calling themselves out on a lot of the kind of kitschy humor of Transformers, and it was a nice book.
Yeah, it was a really nice book. So, all right. Cool. Tony, are you good on that?
Yeah, I'm good.
Well, I'm going to just leap in. Actually, not related to my comic book, but I was reading IDW Star Trek Doctor Who crossover.
Yeah.
And I thought this was interesting. Like, I never knew of they have this new Transformers issue coming out. Before Optimus Prime, there was Orion Pax. Like, was this always true? Was there a before story for Optimus Prime?
Oh, they make up stuff all the time.
Yeah, there's a lot of different lines of Transformers, and he's not the first Prime. Primes are...
Sure, because they pass along the Matrix.
Yeah, and there has been some stories of him prior to getting the Matrix, so I don't know what necessarily this story will entail, but some of the old stuff is... It's kind of cool because it doesn't take place on Earth, so it's just shit blowing up and Transformers.
I just thought it was interesting. I've never even really thought too much about what happened before Optimus Prime was that. So anyway, all right. So that was a plug I was going to give out during last call, but my book this week.
Went back to Archie.
I went back to Archie.
No, he went back to himself.
Kevin is Archie.
I picked up Kevin Keller number 6. Now
with oh my,
it's
George Takei.
Yeah, actually there was I really enjoyed the last Kevin Keller Archie book that I picked up last time, and then there's George Takei on the cover. I'm like, oh fuck, I gotta pick this up. I love George Takei. Takei, whatever.
Okay.
Yeah.
George.
Hey, yeah. just George.
You know, oh, George. It's
okay. Open A.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure it's Decay.
Now, pretty sure it's Jorge.
In Mexico, it'll be Jorge Decay.
You guys are so fucking weird sometimes, I swear to God.
We're just drunk.
So...
Kevin, speak.
Yeah. Okay. So in Kevin Keller number six, real simple story. He makes a report. The report gets published on the internet. George, he finds it and he's like, hell yeah! So he makes a cameo into Riverdale, which is really cool.
Is that near Rivendell?
That's it. Wait.
Lord of the Rings.
Okay. Thank you. I know Mordor.
Okay, I'm sorry.
It's a good story. Actually, it was a nice little history I didn't know about George, that he was in the World War II camps.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I had no idea about that. So, it's funny is that they... with all these issues of Kevin Keller that I've read, we all know that he is gay, but never do they actually mention it in here, especially when George is talking about breaking down barriers and making people aware. And even at the back of the book, it's weird, is that he actually is going on a date and says, well, we wouldn't be going on a date unless if it was for people like George Takei,
yeah,
to help us out. So... I think this is a nice story.
Classic Archie art.
Yeah, classic. But there's some funny things in here. Like there's this big fat guy
while they're
at a Comic Con wearing a Jabba the Hutt, and
he looks like Jabba the Hutt.
Yeah. There's a lot of the. It's not very serious, like sad face Spider-Man. In the artwork, these are very, very pleasurable to read. And then one thing I did notice is I actually downloaded the Archie app, and if you download the app, they give you, like, there's about 20-30 comics for free. You can just download and read. And I've downloaded a few of them, like Josie and the Pussycats.
Oh yeah,
yeah. There's a couple of issues of that on there, and I'm excited to flip through these freebies. Now, of course, I'm sure they're there to hook us. Yeah, that's fine. I don't mind the hook.
Is it just mainly like a downloading comic book app? Is that what the whole thing's about?
It's
not an augmented reality like Marvel where you scan a picture and it shows a video or something like that.
No, not probably.
Okay.
Probably nothing like that. I haven't seen anything like that. But, you know, you get your store and you...
So it's like a Comixology app or any of those other ones.
Yeah, so it's... I'm excited to explore more with this app, and I'll probably actually I was not picking up Kevin Keller, but you know, after this one, yeah, I might pick up a few more, maybe even try a few other Archie books.
Nice, cool. Well, I have this week Uncanny X-Force number one from Marvel.
Oh shit! You know what? I'm sorry. I didn't. Hold up, Dan Parent.
Yes.
Stories and pencils. So I tip my cap to him.
Nice.
So.
Thank you.
Oh.
So, Uncanny X-Force number one from Marvel, written by Sam Humphries, pencils by Ron Garney, inks by Danny Meekie, and colors by Marty Garcia and Israel Gonzalez. So, for those of you that aren't reading this, first, I gotta say why, because... this is an awesome book. But on the off chance that you're just kind of maybe waiting for us to tell you about it and say it's okay. Go buy it. So this story kicks off with an absolute gorgeous splash page of Psylocke holding one of her psychic knives to the head of Spiral and threatening the crowd, you know, surrounding her that she's going to kill her. So I'll give a quick recap of what's going on. Just so that people have an idea.
Because that was my problem with it, is not reading as many X-Men titles as the rest of them. I was a little confused with
what's going on here. Well, I'm going to give a quick recap of what's going on in this book itself, and I can understand with you being a little confused there. But so Psylocke, a.k.a. Betsy Braddock, she's pissed off and she's jaded and bitter because lately she's been killing people a lot. And Angel doesn't know who she is anymore, and her love tryst with Phantom X didn't work out so well. Storm is kind of sad and removed just, well, because she's Storm, but also because her marriage to the Black Panther has been annulled. And
that's the part that I couldn't get. I'm sorry to interrupt you. And I don't know why he just ended the relationship.
I don't know, maybe because
you sided with fucking terrorists.
Yeah, with Namor when he's destroying Wakanda.
Yeah.
As the queen of Wakanda, I would think you would speak against even your mutant buddies coming in there and wiping the place out. But that's just
I used to defend her, and I used to think she still does have a pretty kick-ass mutant power. And I thought she was all right. I know you always, you know, kind of knocked on her, but I defended her. Until now, she's a dumb fucking idiot.
I don't know why he divorced me.
Really?
Yeah. So, no,
it's
like
your haircut, Storm.
Oh, actually, that's one of my favorite things. Yeah. Is she's got the mohawk back. Yeah. So now Wolverine is in this book briefly, and he's kind of playing the part of Charlie to the Angels.
Yeah.
In this, where he's putting X-Force back together because he can't be a part of this team, and I think it's either because he thinks it goes against him running the school and all that, what it stands for, or maybe it's because he's already in 43 other fucking team books and 17 solo books. So
he looks fat in this issue.
Well, Wolverine?
Yeah.
He's always kind of short and squatty.
It depends.
He's stubby.
Yeah. So now Storm and Psylocke team up in this, and they go meet Wolverine's next choice to join the team, which is Puck, the surly little Canadian, you know, formerly of Alpha Flight. And then after that, the three of them go after a potential drug dealer who turns out to be Spiral, and that's kind of when the real fun starts in the book. Oh, and then Bishop shows up, and then you see Phantom X, who was freshly split into three people. Phantom X, his evil twin, and the female version of him called Cluster. Yeah, and then Phantom X and Cluster make out at the end.
All right, so
the end. that's
his clone, right?
That's his clone.
So when you have sex with a clone, is it incest or masturbation?
Well, okay, it's kind of like that. If you could fellate yourself, is it masturbation or not?
But it's not gay because she's a girl.
Well,
and it's okay, you know, if she were a guy too. But I mean,
it's not. Well,
whatever. But I just
But now, what if the evil twin came in? You can do the whole. It's not gay if it's a three way.
Well, their brains were all like connected at one point, so you know.
It's really really odd, but I do have to say, I mean, this book was just flat out awesome. And when I heard who was going to be on the team, I was a little bit hesitant, but I don't know. I've really been enjoying everything that I've read from Sam Humphries before. So you know, I didn't want to see that rehash of the last X-Force team or the X-Force team before that. I was glad to see something new.
Yeah. When did Puck become a ladies' man?
After he got out of hell, apparently.
Okay. So I didn't know that. Yeah. Well, I don't know why he went to hell in the first one too. I guess I've never really paid much attention.
Yeah,
although
do you know
I always
why he was
Puck.
In hell? Was that where Alpha Flight?
I don't know.
Gone to.
I have no idea. Like, I've never followed Puck. I mean,
only a Canadian superhero whose power is basically being, like, rubber and small and condensed in, like, a black cylinder-like puck-like disc would be called Puck.
Yeah. And well, yeah, I mean, he's got it. He's got to be. But, you know, and the cool thing that I liked about this story.
His superpower is apologizing. Sorry. You know, no. Batman, pow, bam. Sorry.
No, but he's Canadian, so be sorry.
Sorry.
the one thing I really liked, though, is, I mean, people that listen to the show, and you guys all know this, I'm a huge Psylocke fan. Psylocke and Spiral have a shitload of bad blood going back to Psylocke's first appearance in American Comics, which was, I think, New Mutants Annual number 2, where she was in the Mojoverse. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, and just goes on to when her mind was switched into the body of Quanon and goes on and on from there. So I thought that was cool. And while I normally hate Storm, I gotta say that I think Humphries has done the best job of anybody since Claremont.
Alright. Here's my biggest fear for it is that they're just gonna erase all the things that Bishop has done. That I mean obviously you look at him, he's already got it looks like he's already got his normal arm back. as opposed to the robot arm that he had for a while. He's definitely grown some dreads and a big fuzzy beard, which actually makes him look pretty badass. But I'm just real concerned that Bishop is not going to live up to the legacy that he's recently had of being kind of a bastard and single-mindedly all about killing Hope. What's going to change in his character so that he's not like, hey, X-Force, you know what we need to go do? Kill Hope.
Well, who knows? It could happen, X-Force versus Cable in the X-Force.
Yeah, Cable's going to win.
Yeah. Okay, so last thing here. The art by Garney in this book was outstanding. I went back and reread it just as much for the art as I did for the story. The colors by Garcia and Gonzalez were fantastic as well.
I love the use of the pink-purplish Psylocke color.
Yeah, I mean, just gorgeous. So I'm 100% on board with this book. I hope the team that's working on this stays together. So no question at all, two huge mugs up rating on this one for me.
All right, Kevin, you got your long box?
Yeah, I do. I'm being careful of what to say. You guys always get me inserting or
fingering or thumbing or unleashing or whipping out your long box.
So from Vertigo Comics, I have Weird Western Tales.
The long box is weird this week.
This was a
it's stinky.
This was a four-issue series, and every story done was written, and art was done by different people. Yeah.
Okay.
Fuck you. here's some names. Maybe you guys know some of these names. Scott Cunningham, Nicholas Burns, Brett Lewis, Joe Pruitt, Joe Lansdale.
He owes me money.
I want my $2.
$2. Paul Pope, Dave Gibbons, Greg Rucka.
Yeah, there's a handful of people in there.
Okay. Illustrations by Paul Pope, Dave Gibbons, Rick Burchett, Marcelo Fusen, Paul Glancy, Sam Glansman, Doug Wheatley, Eduardo Rizzo.
Couple in there.
Yeah, well, I tell you, I know that a few of those names no one's heard of, because honestly, all right, some of these were shit. Absolute shit. Now, were the stories all good? Yeah, absolutely. I mean, and they were all very simple. Some like like the Devil's Sombrero. It's only a handful of pages, but very, very quick story, but enjoyable.
Was it weird?
Yeah, actually, I would say this would be a equivalent to a Western version of the Twilight Zone.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so if you enjoy the Twilight Zone, you like Westerns, this would be a natural pickup.
Like there's a man on the wing of my horse?
That's some man.
Was that a Twilight Zone reference?
Yeah, the Twilight Zone, the movie.
I never saw
William Shatner in that one?
No, that one.
It just sounded like Shatner with something on the wing.
No, I think it was.
It was the Gremlin.
No, well, yeah, but that wasn't Shatner. That was John something or other. It'll come back to me.
In my mind, it's better with Shatner.
Yeah.
But one thing I thought was weird in Weird Western Tales.
There's only one thing that was
just
weird.
Just one. It is actually, there was a story in this comic book. What the hell is up with all these words? I mean, there was an illustration.
Looks like something Alan Moore would do in between the pages of Watchmen, like with a real storyline.
Yeah, fuck words.
I mean, it's probably one of the best stories in this four-part series, but it just threw me for a loop. So, yeah, it was weird. But no, I think the Twilight Zone Western mashup would be excellent pickup. But if you find this in the bargain bin, and this was published in 2001 from Vertigo, yeah, this is definitely a pickup.
Cool. Awesome. Tony, what are we doing?
Let's go down Indie Turnpike.
All right. Indie Turnpike.
Do you guys think we should have like sound effects for that? I feel like we should have revving engines.
Hey asshole, move it!
I'd be just grinding my gears.
I've driven the Indie Turnpike.
You know what really grinds my gears? You know,
stupid segues like that?
Well, segues suck just in general. I mean, people look stupid on those. Well,
you know, you cut the cost of those considerably if they just had a third wheel.
So, all right. Let's get back on track. Jesus. Indy Turnpike is where we give a little bit of a spotlight on a comic that's not come from the big two. And this week, I pulled out something, Kevin. A couple weeks back, you did a long box about The Question.
Oh, yeah. I love The Question. I've been trying to find some back issues.
Is it like a Jeopardy question?
I have the answer.
Oh, finally! Is it 42?
Kevin's leaving the room, dying laughing. I think he's dying, not just laughing, dying.
But the answer... The answer is today's Daily Double.
Yeah. All right. So, I have the answer number 104 from Dark Horse Comics, written by Dennis Hopeless, who...
Cable and the X-Force.
And is also doing Avengers Arena. The art is by Mike Norton. And the story was actually created by both of them. And colors on this was by Mark Englert. So, this book revolves around a 30-year-old librarian named Devin who is ridiculously smart. And funny enough, speaking of Jeopardy...
Is that a man or a woman?
The answer?
No, the librarian.
It's a she.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I didn't know if that was a real... feminine cut on a man or
manly cut on the woman.
No, I think she's cute. So, but anyway, so Devin is like super, super smart. And you said Jeopardy because like she has Jeopardy on in the background and she's answering all the questions like before any of the contestants are. And her mom gets her this like cool puzzle ball for her birthday and it's supposedly like the most.
Pinhead's gonna come out.
So, but the cool thing is, like, supposed to be, like, the most difficult puzzle. She solves it in no time flat. Well, when she solves it, and here's like, where the little twist starts to happen. It opens up to reveal a piece of paper with a web address on it. And fantastic marketing, by the way, because the website is actually the home site for the comic book.
Nice.
The Answer.
Nice.
Yeah. And now, in the comic, she goes to the website, and it's got all these puzzles, which she's just... thrilled, you know, and goes through, and I think there's like 60 some of them that she does, and she gets all of them perfect, and they're increasingly more difficult, blah, 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 blah. As soon as she's done solving everything with the site, a superhero known only as The Answer right now barges in to take her to safety because people are coming for her, and they're coming fast. Guys with guns, you know, tactical squad, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
So... that's kind of where it leaves it. Like, you don't really understand it. I mean, there's some cool stuff that I won't spoil at the tail end of this as far as the answer and all that, but...
Come on, just give us the answer.
It's cheating, Tony.
Yeah.
Give you the answer.
Yeah. But I do want to say this book was really well written, and between the story and the art, it kind of has this cool, old-timey feel to it, even though it's set in current time.
And Cincinnati.
Well, that's a location, not a time.
It's a real place.
So is New York and the Avengers.
Yeah.
I love that they have answering machine.
Yeah.
You can write in and to the answer.
Yeah. For first issue especially, it was a really smart book. And it's got like a really awesome kind of film noir type mystery feel to it. So
I just hope it doesn't turn into the Da Vinci Code, like, gotta crack this puzzle to get to this place, or like National Treasure, or any of those type of...
I don't think that's the way that this is going. Like, I mean, they show that she's solving these puzzles, but they don't really make what the puzzles are part of the story. They just show that she's super smart, she's doing all the stuff on the website.
That sounds cool.
There's some other stuff that's going on back there, but, you know, it's superbly paced, it's really well drawn, and I can't wait for the next issue to come out. So
I check if there's a real online like website like she went to. They have tie-ins.
Wait, okay. Let me back up and I'll re-say what I already said.
Yes, the answer is yes.
When you go to the website that she opened up, it's the physical site for the comic book.
Oh.
Now when you first get there, it looks like it's the website she's going to, but then as you scroll down, it's the marketing for the comic. So
It would be nice for a little puzzles or add-ins like there, too. That's an idea you guys can keep.
Yeah, it'd also be nice if Tony listened to what the fuck I said.
Now, you need to stop playing with his Legos.
We barely listen to you, Derek.
I know. So, but the one thing I'm going to say is go run out and grab a copy before your local shop runs out, because there weren't a ton, you know, on the shelf at my shop, and it was cool. So there you go. There is the answer, number one, for Kevin.
She'd be a good team-up with the Riddler.
Well, you know, and the great thing is that the answer has, like, and she
exclamation
actually...
Exclamation point for a mask.
Yeah, like, and she actually referenced in here, she's like, why would I go somewhere with somebody who has punctuation mark on their face? But, yeah, great book, though. So, time for some news, Tony?
Yeah, we can do some news.
All right, news this week is brought to you officially by Motor City Comic Con. Go check them out at MotorCityComicCon.com. You can find them on Facebook. Facebook's, they've got a great Facebook. They've got all their guests up there, like us, you know. But yeah, it's going to be May 17th through the 19th at the Suburban Showplace in Novi, Michigan. Check them out. Come check us out. What do you got, Tony?
Let's start off with a little DC news. The new Superman movie might have a different side character in it.
Yeah, there's a, and this is rumor only, that Jimmy Olsen may be Jenny Olsen.
Who's Jimmy Olsen?
I don't know. It's DC.
Hey, I'm cool with that. Just don't talk about Bastard Son.
Superboy.
Yeah, Superboy. Yeah.
What?
In the last movie, they had a bastard son.
Oh,
that had the superpowers. Well, I think this is totally ignoring.
Well, as it should.
Well, yeah, it's going with him. I saw a lot of takes with like the government kind of going like, "What do we do about this guy? And is he going to come peacefully, or are we going to have trouble?" It looks really interesting. I'm going to give this movie the benefit of the doubt. I usually don't like Superman, but it looks like they're telling a more interesting story than just, I'm Superman and can save the day. What does it mean to be a god amongst men?
I'm going to have a hard time watching this with Lawrence Fishburne in there as Perry White and not waiting for him to like offer the blue pill or the red pill. But
another movie news for DC, they've pretty much kind of let out the bag. Definites in the new Justice League movie will be Batman, Superman, Green Lantern, Wonder Woman, and The Flash. Those are a given. But there's other characters that have been on the roster.
Martian Manhunter, Aquaman.
Yes. Hawkman. All these people who are kind of key to the Justice League that are only going to be making kind of cameo appearances in the movie. They just can't flesh out all those characters in one movie like the awesome Marvel did.
I would love to see just in the background, like, something you would only catch, like, if you watch it a few times, would be, though, what the hell's his name? Adam Pereira and Olivia Munn dressed as the Wonder Twins in the background.
just
in the background, like, you know, like, she's mopping, you know, like that little...
And she's a bucket of water.
Yeah, that little thing that they did.
Hey, the, Time Warner owns DC... And do they own the rights to all of their intellectual property? Because I know Marvel's kind of split up between Fox owns a couple of them, Sony owns Spider-Man.
I think it's all Warner Brothers.
Yeah. Warner Brothers. All, yeah. Well, that's nice because then you can include those little cameos, which would be really fun in the background.
Yeah. Yeah, have a little purple monkey just run by.
Well, speaking of those two, did you guys hear last week, and this is kind of going into more of video game lore, but G4 officially sucks ass now. They got rid of their last good show.
Attack of the Show?
No, they got rid of Attack of the Show back in the summer. But yeah. X-Play was the only other flagship show, and they had their last episode on Wednesday.
Yeah, I recorded those.
Kevin's going to watch them with a bucket of Haagen-Dazs.
And some bonbons.
And some tissues.
I remember watching you 4 years ago.
Yeah. Oh, back what Tech TV?
Tech TV,
before it was G4, yeah.
Actually, I did watch the tail end of that last episode of AOTS, and They did actually a flashback to Tech TV.
Nice.
It was really cool. It actually had a Newhouse feel to it. If you remember, the last episode of Newhouse?
No.
All right. Oh, God. Well, I've got some news of my own. I just had LASIK surgery this week, and it did not give me laser vision like Cyclops, like I was hoping.
Which is awesome, because you sit directly across from me when we do this.
But, on the other hand, I am seeing more like Hawkeye, so that's pretty
sweet.
Cool.
Sweet. More movie news before we jump into other stuff. Hugh Jackman said that the new X-Men Days of Future Past will definitely feature time travel. And then he also said, and I got to find the quote in here, that every other actor who's ever put on a superhero uniform will be in it, which I think is a lie, because Superman will not be in this movie.
Yeah, I don't think Christian Bale's going to sign up for that.
Yeah. Although,
and Christopher Reeves, God rest him.
Sorry.
They'll have a tombstone there.
Although, I wouldn't be surprised.
All the tombstones that are in Days of Future Past, you could just literally everyone who's ever played a superhero.
Although, I would not be surprised if Adam West somehow manages to get his ass on that set.
Oh, please do that.
But I'm really curious to see who all they're going to put in this. And hopefully they'll forget some of the people that they made shitty and actually make them real.
Yeah.
You know, in this. But, Tony, what else you got?
I guess I got some other movie news coming out of Marvel. Talking about Phase 3 already, because they already got Phase 2 set for their Marvel Universe with the new Thor, the new Captain America, and then going
Guardians
into Avengers
Galaxy
2. Yeah,
and Avengers 2.
We're going to have Ant-Man and Doctor Strange are confirmed for movies. And I believe Ant-Man was already...
Yeah, he's
confirmed.
No, he's been confirmed. We talked about that a while ago.
I don't know if he's in Phase 2 or 3.
But he's definitely coming in Phase 3 now. And the thing that I'm just happy as hell about is the Doctor Strange movie.
Yeah.
I think that could be very well done.
That could be awesome.
You know, it's one of those things, like, for a long time, I felt that magic users, you know, they don't really have a place in media because too many people are skeptical of magic. Psh, stupid witch hunters. however, with things like Harry Potter, The Lord of the Rings, I think there's a really big market now for fantasy adventure magic users, and I think that's really cool that we can now have a Doctor Strange movie. Although, like the same problem I had with Thor, a lot of what made Doctor Strange cool was the art and like being on the astral plane and looking all trippy and.
Well, yeah, it's a question: is it going to look like Ghost Rider?
Yeah,
you know, or is it going to look like Lord of the Rings?
It's it'd be nice that if the concept art for it or in the design for it is would be beautiful, but.
You know, and it's one of those things, like, with Doctor Strange, with that cape, you know, that cape is awesome to draw, but here's a perfect example. Look at the Spawn movie.
Yeah, it was...
I mean, Spawn
yeah,
was as
CG,
much as...
CG wasn't that good.
Yeah, I mean,
then.
When did Spawn come out? It was
90, I think.
Oh, it was
2000-ish.
Right, around, yeah.
But here's the whole thing. I mean, like... That cape is one of those things that looks beautiful drawn, but I don't think in a realistic setting is going to fit. It's hard for me to see.
In recent comics, though, Doctor Strange was not digging the cape because, well, he wasn't Sorcerer Supreme at the time. But I thought that he actually looked really awesome without the cape.
Yeah, so. I think I can see them doing some iconic scenes of him around his house, not running around fighting bad guys, but I think he'll leave the cape at home when he goes.
They're laying the groundwork to save a few bucks in the production of the movie.
Yeah.
Yeah. There you go. well, Tony, you're talking the cosmic and this and that, there was something that came out about Marvel Comics planning a cosmic crossover event. Did you guys see that?
Mm-mm.
Okay. I was hoping you did, because I don't know a lot about this cosmic shit. You guys do.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I think it was Bleeding Cool that released this information, that it's going to be possibly written by Brian Michael Bendis.
Okay, that makes it awesome.
Yeah, and they're thinking like late this summer.
Okay.
You know.
Well, that would give them a full year to rev up for the Guardians of the Galaxy.
Maybe. Yeah. And basically what it says, you know, it's like it's going to be kind of like coming out of like the Nova book that's coming out. Maybe some stuff from Thanos Rising. Maybe some stuff from Iron Man.
Mm-hmm.
You know. So.
I know that the cosmic crossovers that they've done in the past, like Annihilation, Conquest, War of the Kings, were all pretty awesome. So I would have high hopes for a cosmic crossover. And I think the cosmic crossovers, in a sense, really add to the vastness of the galaxy. Whereas a lot of times the crossover events on Earth, you know, just make things overly complex. And
I'm hoping that this is the big summer event for Marvel.
Yeah.
Because then I don't have to buy it.
You're missing out. One thing that we've been really good at the show is predicting different titles. There's been teasers that have been handed down.
Yeah.
And we've been excellent at being able to guess what they are. But I am fucking stumped on this one, guys. I have no clue.
Okay, yeah. So Marvel put out a teaser, and it's Bendis and Bochlo.
Okay.
And there's like a little red line going across, and the only word they put on there is uncanny.
I'm thinking it might be a new Deadpool series.
I think it could have something to do with She-Hulk, because she hasn't been in the comics very much.
Yeah.
and she's red. Well, it could be Code Red, because she's red, the red line.
Yeah. Or, I don't know, maybe it's like... It couldn't be another X-Men title. I mean, there are way too many.
With a red line, who's that going to be? Cyclops?
No. Yeah, what is that representing? Loop's getting his own series.
Dupe.
Whatever.
Loop.
Whatever.
Oh, my God.
It's not.
That would be great, though. Actually, I think it would be really funny if they just put out just a dupe. A one-shot where there weren't any words. It was just all dupe's language in there. And you're like, What the fuck?
Quick side note, one of the cartoon shows that I'm watching, The Ultimate Spider-Man, they actually had... Peter has these like little flashes of alternate reality type deal in his head. And one of them is about being a space traveler with his sidekick, Dupe. And I was like, I would have had no fucking clue who Dupe was if it wasn't for that X-Men issue.
Nice.
Over in the X-Men issue. So.
Yeah, so back to the teaser. Worst teaser ever.
I know, they could have said, the whole story arc that they're talking about is there's a traitor amongst them. Why not make that be the key word?
Or how about this? Everybody has known for months that Uncanny X-Men number one is coming out. Why put a teaser out now?
What if, just stay with me on this one, okay? What if it's a Namor book, and Namor has to fight the King of Tuna, and the tuna is uncanned? Moving along.
Yeah, Matt, from now on, I'm okay with you keeping those jokes to yourself and being shellfish.
Another little news note for movies. Arnold Schwarzenegger has hinted and confirmed that he will be involved in a Terminator 5. It's still a lot of progress and stuff, but he says if it's happening, he's going to be involved.
Think he'll be back?
You know, I liked how they did Salvation, where they used the CG type shit of him.
Yeah.
You know, in there. I was okay with that, but, like, you know, I went back and I was watching, like, T2 and T3, where he's clearly aging.
Yeah.
And it's like,
But something that they hinted at was, what if he wasn't going to be a robot? And what if they're showing, like, a story that he's a human soldier, that the robots go, hey, human soldier, that gives us the idea of making a robot based off of this guy. So he actually plays just an old prison soldier.
But why wouldn't they have made the version of him that they saw, not...
Because they're robots, and they have an aesthetic value of things being young and perfect.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Makes sense, all right.
Yeah.
Let's move along. Next news, Tony.
There
are two other things I know for sure before we cut it. I thought this was really cool. It's not a big topic, but it's just neat that Marvel's hardcover trade paperbacks that are coming out are going to have free digital codes with them.
Cool.
So I thought that was really cool. You know, I mean, for people that want to have the hardcover, but, I mean, that's a lot of shit. Mm-hmm. You know, you can take that. And the last thing, we talked about the online course through Ball State about gender roles through comic books. And I want to say that I've already signed up for it. Are you guys going to sign up for it? We said we were.
I will like to, but I've got lots of other homework.
It's a 5-week course.
Okay.
You know, and
when does it start?
Is it consecutive weeks?
Yes, five week course starts in, I think it's like the tail. No, it's the beginning of April, and it goes like to the week before we do Motor City.
I'll try.
So.
Well, at least sign up for it, and then I can get a failing grade.
Yeah, it's
the
free.
Only class I ever failed.
Yeah, so that's it. But yeah, if you go look up a massive open online course, or you look up gender through comic books, and look up Ball State, you'll find it. And it's a
the topic really interests me. I think that'd be really great to discuss. So.
I think it's going
to
be cool.
Why don't we put something up on drunkencomics.com. People are interested.
Yeah.
We'll link it up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Sweet. Well, moving on, I don't think there's any other news out there this week, so.
No.
No.
Really nothing.
Yeah. I mean, fuck, I haven't heard a story that's been reposted millions of times.
I don't know. I mean, everything I've seen has been beep-do-beep-do-beeped out.
R2-D2?
Yeah.
What?
What about R2?
You just said beep-do-beep-boop.
Yeah. And you knew your robot speak that was R2.
Well, yeah. Come on.
Yeah, so no, I did hear though they're talking that they're going to move forward with that episode 7 of Star Wars.
What?
Yeah.
Really?
Nice. Yeah.
Like they think they're going to make money off of doing an episode 7?
like we aren't going to go.
No, obviously, though, everyone has talked about it, has read it, unless you are Kevin and live under a rock, that J.J. Abrams is going to be directing this.
Actually, I came out of my rock to hear about this.
Oh, okay, so you have heard
this. So I have heard about this J.J. guy, whatever.
Yeah. So Tony...
He's the editor of the Daily Bugle, right?
Yeah.
So J.J. Abrams... rumored, and if he's rumored, it's probably going
to be... No, it's been confirmed.
It's been confirmed?
It's confirmed. He is doing Star Wars. And the biggest... I guess it's... I don't see it as a problem, but I kind of do. A conflict of interest is he's done the other epic star fucking movie out there. Star Trek.
Yeah,
Stargate?
Starfuckers?
That's what his next movie's like. I want to do Stargate now. I'll have all the stars.
Star Wars?
And I just...
Dancing with the Stars?
He's going to be the only person in history to ever be able to do this. I can't see...
Well, that's not... Like... That's not saying a whole lot.
Ever. 2,000 years from now, J.J. Abrams, only man to do Star Trek and Star Wars.
Well, okay, it's kind of like if he was the CEO of Pepsi and then being told, oh, and you can run Coke now. Like, I don't have a problem with him because I do like what he did with Star Trek, but at the same point, I can see trepidation between the fanboys of...
See, but I don't because I feel that J.J. Abrams is smart enough and he has a he hires the right people that are smart enough to realize these are two distinct universes and to treat them in their proper way, handle them, you know, because he thought you're going to piss off a whole bunch of Trekkies with the reboot of Star Trek, and it turns out he actually did that very well, and so I think the same way extending it to Star Wars, I think he's going to please a lot of people with it.
I'm just hoping that somewhere in the movie they explain what the fuck that thing was in Cloverfield.
I'm just hoping that he doesn't all of a sudden say the Jedi's get their power from some mysterious island in the Pacific Ocean.
and Yoda has to push a button every 142 minutes or whatever the fuck it was.
That's what Dagobah is. It's No, but seriously, I mean, I think it's going to be good for the whole series, though. He is a great director, and as what you said, too, he rebooted Star Trek pretty well. I'm having high hopes that he can take what, honestly, is going to be a fucking tough challenge. Star Trek, there's been tons of different movies, tons of different directors, so when he rebooted it, though, it could have been just like one of those, it was okay, Star Trek movie, it wasn't Wrath of Khan type.
There have been some fantastic tweets about this, though. There was one, I don't remember who it was, but because he's kind of known for a lot of lens flare in the last Star Trek movie, they're like, Can you imagine the lens flare that's going to happen during the lightsaber battles?
I can't see them fighting because I'm blinded.
But,
well, I don't know if you guys heard, he's actually going to be the only panel at Comic-Con this summer. He's not going to be answering any money. You're just invited to go watch him fuck a pile of money.
No, I think it's great. Like, there's a somebody on Twitter called Depressed Darth, and it's Darth Vader. It says, if J.J. Abrams turns me into a smoke monster in the new Star Wars movie, I'm going to be pissed. But there was somebody else who said J.J. stands for Jar Jar. Oh,
that's cruel.
Yeah. But, no, I mean, it was a lot of fun. Dan Slott, writer of Amazing and now Superior Spider-Man, put on there, goes, this could totally work. Tribbles? Things coughed up by Ewoks? Work with me, people. Work with me. So, yeah. Well, that's all I got for news. Tony, did you have anything else?
Nope, that's all I have, too. Let's hear what Booze in the Book is.
Booze in the Book. All right, Booze in the Book this week. Something I think most of us read was Deadpool Killustrated number 1 from Marvel, written by Cullen Bunn. Are you familiar with him, Kevin?
I've heard of him.
Yeah. pencils by Matteo Loli. Inks by Sean Parker. Colors by Veronica Gandini. And the cover was by Mike Del Mundo. And for the record, I gave Cullen Bunn a shout-out that I was going to be using this book for the Booze in a Book this week. And he very appropriately recommended a Bloody Mary. Because of how bloody this book is. However, I already kind of had something in mind.
You totally dissed him.
I'm going against the artist, or I'm going against the writer. Because I did a little research this week, and Moby Dick was originally published in 1851, so I wanted to find a drink from that period to match with it. Ew. And something that would work with this book as well. What I found most interesting that got me completely housed and I thought fit with this is called Adios Amigos. It is 2 ounces of light Bacardi rum, 1 ounce of French vermouth, 1 ounce of brandy or cognac, 1 ounce of gin, and the juice of half of a lemon, shaken and served with ample amounts of chipped ice.
They knew how to get drunk in the 19th century.
Yeah. So now, I'm pairing these two together because a drink called Adios Amigos sounds like it would go really well with the chimichanga. And also, both the drink and the book will knock you on your ass, as it did me. Add in the fact that there are multiple dimensions to both of them, you know, the book and the cocktail, and you got a couple winners here. So, whether it's Bloody Mary or Adios Amigos, pick your poison. Go have some fun. Cheers. That's Booze in a Book.
This is a book, though, I do want to just mention a couple things, because I've always been a Deadpool fan, and I love that you've come over to
the dead side.
Yeah. I like that you were liking Deadpool.
The deep end of the pool?
Yeah. Where everyone dies is dead. This book very well is an awesome story arc from him killing the Marvel Universe.
Kills the universe. Deadpool kills the Marvel Universe. Yeah.
And I like how in it, it shows how many times he's killed Spider-Man. He's just getting sick of it. He's like, when will this fucking end? And the evil scientists are like, you need to go kill the original ideas. What I love is it's not just going to be that carnage, though. We kind of knew he's just going to, well, you thought someone might be able to stop him in the last story arc, but he didn't. So this, you're kind of thinking, well, he's unstoppable. He's going to keep going. I like that the villains, or that Cullen, put in a device for possibly stopping him.
Yeah.
And so you got this kind of, is he going to make it? Is he going to kill all these ideas?
Or is Sherlock Holmes going to stop him?
Yes.
Well, and Bunn's a fantastic writer, and he's smart as shit. So, like, I'm excited because, you know, I didn't know how he was going to end the first miniseries. And this one, it's like, besides the massive carnage of, and just, you know, it's going to be brutally disgusting and fun in here. I mean, well, hell, he crawled out of Moby Dick's blowhole.
I did like the, he's fighting Moby Dick, but he's in it, and me and my dinghy.
Yeah. Yeah, that's,
I, you know, it's, I'll keep reading this because I know Tony's going to keep buying it and letting me read it. But it's kind of like I feel about horror movies, that sometimes I'm just like, I don't know if I want the gratuitous violence. But on the other hand, I think that the story is really interesting idea. And although I hate Deadpool being more of the psychopath killer, and I like him much more of being the chimichangas, B. Arthur loving funny man, I'll still keep reading it. I'm just pissed that he killed Don Quixote.
oh, I like that he said he wanted him to be last.
He goes, I didn't want to kill you so soon.
I do want to say, though, I remember, you know, Tony, you and Kevin and I talking about, I think it was the first issue of Deadpool Kills the Marvel Universe, and us saying how much we really wanted this to be an ongoing series, you know. Mm-hmm. Well, it's not an ongoing series. At least we got four more out of it. So, I mean, once again, our clairvoyance powers, we're fucking superheroes, man.
Yeah.
The heads of Marvel listen to us every week, and they're like, we got to get on that shit.
Yeah.
Hey, if you guys just want to give us, like, you know, kick back like a case of beer or something, we'd be okay with that.
Or just send all of the comic books. Four copies each, please.
Yes.
So, that's everything I got.
That's everything I got.
I got a couple books for last call. Matt, you already had your last call.
I got one last call, though. I just want to say thank you to John Stewart, who increasingly makes more and more comic book references in his show. He did a really dumb one with Magneto the other day, but it just makes me go, you or one of your writers is a big nerd, and thank you for bringing it to your show.
Nice. Last call for me, Punisher Nightmare 405. This has been a great series. I've talked about it, and next week is the last one, so I'll probably say it again. That's from Marvel. Scott M. Gimple is the writer. Mark Texier is the art. Frank DiArmada is doing colors. Astonishing X-Men number 58 from Marjorie Liu, writer. Gabriel Hernandez-Walta on art. Chris Peter and Dan Brown on colors. That's a really cool story about Warbird, and... You know, I never really knew a lot about her, but I'm loving this. And Marjorie Liu is fantastic for writing, especially female characters. She did a knockout, drag out fight thing, awesome job on X-23. So she's I love her writing. Bedlam number 3 from Image. I know you guys are at least have read the first two. This book is fucking crazy good. That's Nick Spencer writing it, Riley Rossmo art. And then lastly, Judge Dredd from IDW. That was number 3 as well. Dwayne Swierczynski is the writer, Nelson Daniel and Langdon Foss on art, and Rhonda Pattison on colors. Those are all other good, fun books I had this week.
My last call would be a shout-out to a couple of story arcs. You got Rise of the Third Army, so Green Lantern 16... Green Lantern, New Guardians 16.
Yep.
Rise of the Third Army, it's coming to a conclusion, so that's a good story. Aquaman 15. We haven't had a shout-out to Aquaman in a while. So
does he deserve one?
Yes, he does!
Okay.
The Throne of Atlantis series. It's a crossover between Aquaman and Justice League. And that's starting to become a good story. And... as I mentioned earlier in the show, IDW's Star Trek Doctor Who crossover. It's an epic conclusion to these characters meeting up with the Borg and the Cybermen.
Nice.
So that's definitely a pretty hefty issue, actually.
Chunky. Does it say juicy on the cover?
Yeah, I mean, thinking about that delicious square candy in the silver wrapper.
Oh yeah, my god.
With
the chunky.
So that's it for me.
Tony, do you have any last ones you want to throw in, or did you get all yours out?
No, pretty much everyone started talking about the ones I picked up, so.
Alright.
Aquaman 15?
Yeah, man.
Yeah, hell yeah.
How did you know? I picked up, that's my favorite scene.
I knew because you're running around in just your underwear and keep splashing water on yourself.
And a Batman Snuggie. Don't forget the Batman Snuggie. I got a Joker Snuggie if you want to borrow it, too.
Okay. Do you want to give a shout out to Vader Girl on Facebook?
Oh, yes. That was awesome.
For all of our listeners, like I said, if you haven't gone to our Facebook page, it's more just laughs, jokes, you know, reposting of pictures
fun
and
pictures.
Just fun little nuggets of the web up on there that we can easily post more than our webpage. Go there, like us. You'll start seeing our pictures and posts in your newsfeed, but then share us too. Get our name out there. Help us spread the love of comics and our...
nerdly nuggets.
And our drunkenness to many other people, I guess.
Yeah. And come visit us on the tweeter too. You know, the tweeter is fun. So, yeah, Twitter though, that's kind of just more of a place where we sit and bullshit with people. You know, occasionally we put up, you know, random drunk posts at night.
Yeah,
on the weekends.
Yeah, how was last night, by the way?
Oh, didn't you see Commissioner Gordon?
I didn't. Was there a picture?
I put a picture of Commissioner Gordon.
I didn't see the picture. I just saw that you. Him last night.
There was a dude in the restaurant where we went for the after bar food. You know, it's a 24-hour diner breakfast and hot dog joint. And there's a guy in there that looks exactly like Commissioner Gordon. And it was insane.
From the Batman TV show, or
no, like the new Commissioner Gordon.
Okay.
Yeah, Gary Oldman. Yeah. So hold on. We'll show you here.
Yeah, listeners, we will show you. Yeah.
Hey, listeners,
look closely into your speaker.
Yeah, no, I will.
All right,
there.
Oh my god! Oh my god!
Very much so. Wow, we're gonna post this on Facebook and Twitter.
It's already on Twitter.
Oh,
so well, if
go check it out, people.
Yeah, all right. Put it on the book face.
On the book face.
Yeah.
I think there's a lot of people out there I would love to put on my face book.
All right, listeners, thanks for listening once again. I'm Tony, Derek, Kevin, and Matt. Adios.
Adios,
amigos.
Amigos.
Yeah, that sounds like a good thing.
Just not everything you need. Wish I could start over again and slow things down and give me the time you need. And I know you're not the sun, but you're still there in the air I breathe. Been some time since I've seen you, and time has a way of revealing the truth. It's been some time, it's alright with you. I want you to know I'm always here for you. I'm always here for you. I'm always here for you. Always here for you.